and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
And welcome to another segment of Outside the Box. I'm Angela Giampolo, you're a gay lawyer. And I'm an attorney licensed in Pennsylvania and New Jersey with offices in the heart of the gayborhood and Mount Laurel, New Jersey. I like to represent over the bridge. Our practice is geared exclusively towards you, the LGBT community, for all of your legal needs, forming businesses, buying real estate, you name it, we do it. Now, this segment is called Outside the Box, and it's LGBT premier radio show and podcast.
Yes.
See.
You did it.
And the purpose of the show is to entertain, educate, and inspire, all while providing a platform for LGBT issues and the people who make things happen. So first in the show, we jump into legal developments, national headlines, things that have happened in the last week. And then we talk about what I like to name, what is it, Carl?
Nothing, I'm good. I just needed to not.
No, what is the next part of the show? The transformational
thinking. Transformational, wait.
Thinking tool.
Did you name it? Tool.
Okay. Transformational thinking tool, where we talk about just a way to exist in the world. We'll get there on that segment.
No, we're there.
We're there.
You know what? When you're there, you're there.
You just know you're there. You can't be there unless you're there.
Right.
And then lastly, we invite rock star guests, as I find them, no pun intended with the fact that we actually have a rock star on today's show, but we invite rock star guests who exemplify what I deem living outside the box, and we talk to them about just what's outside the box about them that we may not know and how they exist in the world. So this week has been, I would
harrowing.
Say, a difficult week.
Yeah.
Right, adequate at best in terms of pluses and minuses of things that have happened, but first, and this really came up this morning with the newest release of a transgender woman who was killed in Dallas. So we've had our own violence here in Philadelphia in the last couple of days. Yeah. And then this morning, a woman, Malaysia Booker in Dallas, who was brutally beat up a month ago by a mob. And there's video of it. And she was brutally attacked last month, and she was found dead early this morning, Malaysia Booker.
And here in Philly, we have Michelle Simone, who is another trans woman. They have apparently today apprehended her murderer. There's no other information, but apparently the guy's been charged very quickly. We don't know if it's a. I hate to use the term traditional, but we don't know if it's a traditional hate crime.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, it speaks to so loudly to what we're dealing with, to what the trans community is dealing with, and the situations that trans, you know, especially trans women of color are forced to put themselves in just to live their lives.
In dangerous peril. So we just want to take a moment, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, to just say their names, Malaysia Booker and Michelle Simone here in Philadelphia. And that's actually a good segue to what I did want to start talking about is Morehouse College has decided, so it's a historically all-male African-American college, and Spelman is its sister college. And Morehouse has voted, as starting in 2020, to allow transgender men to attend Morehouse. And of course, who shows up? Westboro Baptist Church picketed for the last week in front of Morehouse and Spelman due to the policy of allowing transgender men to enroll starting 2020.
Well, I didn't know this. I knew
that's
that
why
there
I bring
was.
It up.
Yeah, no. I knew that one of. Was it Morehouse where the speaker offered to. Or to pledge to pay everyone's.
Was it Morehouse?
Yeah.
Where the.
He pledged to pay everyone's back.
Their student
Sally
loans.
Sally Mae or whatever it is.
Millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Right.
It's amazing.
So, but this vote had happened a long time ago, but the picketing.
That's.
Just,
it, the Westboro Baptist Church, they're clowns. Like, but I think the real story there is that a traditionally
it's
black
all male
university,
African American, right? Yeah. Where it's really hard even to be gay, let alone trans.
Right.
So this is a
this
very
is not this is
progressive.
A, that's a huge breakthrough.
Huge, huge. And then last week, basically, I think the day that we had last week's show, or maybe Wednesday, but the Equality Act passed the House, and the Equality Act is, and this is very finally taken off the headphones.
I'm doing it.
It's so much better.
It is
not grounding.
I feel
it
lighter.
Just really,
yeah.
Thank you.
Feel lighter.
Now we both look normal.
Yeah. I know. No wonder I'm always like, stop it. I look.
You already have a big head. Now you have these big muscles.
Gigantic.
All right. So the Equality Act, which is very important for the Supreme Court case that is going up in 2020 around, it's within the realm of employment discrimination, but it all deals with the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And whether or not gay people can be fired and whether or not we're protected within the Civil Rights Act of 1964. So in light of the Supreme Court finally taking up those cases, and we should hear in June of 2020, the gay conservatives, if you will, are saying that the Equality Act would destroy their religious movements. And so Trump has all but said he will veto it. So it just passed last week, which was a huge positive for the LGBT community, because the Equality Act basically amends the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and says that we are included. So legislatively, we would have beaten the Supreme Court to it, right? So that's huge, because now the Supreme Court doesn't really have anything to weigh in on because the legislature decided. Now the it will likely not pass a Republican-based Senate, and even if it does, Trump has all but said he will veto it.
Can you imagine, like if it passed the Senate and Trump, he's so like.
In
I'm
an
sorry,
election year, that could
sorry,
that could help him.
My
with the way
head
that the
will
United
explode
States-
when I talk about all the people who told me that Trump was just doing, he was just doing lip service, like to the gay community, and you know, that's what I was saying, and people were like, no, like I really think he's going to be, I really think, you know, like he's going to get elected and do whatever. No, he has been the worst.
Absolutely.
Absolute, flat out.
And I
disgusting.
I don't even think
worst.
It'll get to that point, unfortunately, because I don't see it passing in the Republican
eight
Senate. If it does, he would veto it, but we won't even get there where he looks that bad, I feel like, because I just don't think it'll pass. But
I mean, how could he look any worse?
But so
eight Republican representatives voted for that particular bill.
Mm-hmm.
8 out of 200 some. Mm. I don't know how many. 184.
It just sucks. I mean, it's literally popping a balloon of, you know, last week we were all happy, and so either way, this the case is in the Supreme Court's wheelhouse. We'll get a decision by June of 2020, but this could have helped circumvent the need for that if we had legislated. So have you heard of the Chick-fil-A bill? I just can't with Chick-fil-A. So I would like, I have not had Chick-fil-A in 8 years. I love me a waffle fry. They have really good shakes. In 8 years, I have not had a waffle fry.
Taboo has waffle fries.
But not Chick-fil-A's waffle fries.
Yeah, but they have
synthetic
cheese sauce to go with
it. And I love that they're closed on Sunday because they're Mormon, because I'm only ever on Delaware Ave at IKEA on a Sunday, and they're always closed, so I'm not even tempted because they're already closed.
They can make so much money just at the Delaware Avenue location.
All right, so San Antonio passed a bill saying that Chick-fil-A was not allowed to... I forget what
it was. It wasn't a bill. They just rejected their application for the airport.
Well, no, they banned them. They were already in the airport, and they banned
them from
the airport.
See?
And then a month later, the Republicans passed the Save Chick-fil-A bill. It's literally called the Save Chick-fil-A bill, but it's really known as a religious freedom restoration bill, and that you can't discriminate. And so there's literally a bill out in the world called the Chick-fil-A bill. Now, at Barilla
this
Pasta
is,
soon.
So, this is what... No, but those guys, that's what they're doing with their time. That's what these guys in Texas are doing with their time.
Chick-fil-A.
And you can get eight...
We have a lot to get through. And we still have our transformational thinking tool. I don't think we're going to get there. All right, this one I just had to bring up, Aaron Schock. So Coachella, you know, Coachella, he was pictured kissing a guy. So Aaron Schock is a former congressman. If you've watched the documentary called Outrage, and it's a documentary which outs, and this is a long time ago documentary, but it outed or attempted to out or put the thought that these Republican politicians were gay. And so Aaron Schock is a former congressman. And at Coachella about 3 weeks ago, whenever that was, there's pictures of him kissing a guy. And then he's away somewhere and talking to an attractive Speedo-clad young man on Scruff. So finally, Congressman Aaron Schock, you're a homo.
Did you see?
Welcome to the family.
Did you see the pictures of her office? Like, his office was insane.
Her office. Yeah.
No, it was ridiculous. It was like
Ben
Marie
Gerson,
Antoinette.
Ben Gerson style.
I was like, you seriously? It was insane. Keep going.
All right, Thailand. Well, no, actually, before Thailand, Taiwan legalized same-sex marriage. As someone who lived in Beijing for a little over a year, why is that funny?
Just because we talked about that and our Uber driver left.
I was the tallest person ever. It's the only time I've crossed the street when it's raining, and I lifted my umbrella and people went underneath. And I'm 4'11", so that's hard to say. But it was a great year and a half with a ton of gay people. I mean, granted, there's 2 billion people that live in China, but a ton of gay people. But the government is very anti-LGBT. So Taiwan passing same-sex marriage, we're hoping will have a ripple effect all throughout Asia. Thailand has already, since the passing of this, Thailand has already drafted a bill. So that's in the works. And they're putting pressure on Japan in advance of the Olympics in 2020 to put something forth to be more welcoming, sort of the anti-Moscow look. So if we get Thailand and Japan all within the next year, that's going to be huge for all of Asia.
It's huge. There's Asian countries have not been, you know, like I told you when I was in South Korea, I was like, are there gay people here? And they're like, yeah, probably.
I mean, when I lived in Beijing, we're just going to shelf this transformational thinking tool for next week because we only have 3 more minutes. So let's just keep talking about gay Asia. How about that? Gay Asia.
Okay. Gay Asia.
So when I lived in Beijing, it was so gay. I mean, there were no gay bars. Whenever we went to a bar, it was just a normal bar, but women found me. Like, and my roommate was a roofer from the Northeast. And he was just standing there and he'd be like, how do they know that you're gay? And I'm like, I don't know. And they didn't speak English and I didn't speak Mandarin or Cantonese, but it was just the energy was palpable. But the government itself, and I think they're looking, right? It's so underground.
Yeah.
That they're just looking for that outlet.
Yeah, there's a universal language. Like when I was in South America, like I did not speak very good Spanish, but we figured it out. Let's put it that way.
Right. Same in Tanzania. I mean, Tanzania, it's illegal to be gay.
Right.
I moved to Tanzania, and I, of course, find right away I find a homo because he was leading the karaoke at the only bar, right? So like the only creative sort of musical outlet. I meet, and then I'm getting hit on by a guy, and I just sort of stop, and I'm like, listen, I'm gay, you know, go away. And when the guy walked away after I shoot him away, the Tanzanian native that was there was like, don't do that. Like, it's illegal to be gay here. You get to leave in a year. I'm always gonna live here.
Right.
You know, just if I'm associating with you, please don't make it so clear that you're gay.
Oh, right. Because he was scared.
Right.
He could, yeah.
Right. But even then, in all of Tanzania, we found a group, right, in a very small town, and there were multiple gay people, and it just like within a month of living there, I had gay friends.
There's a gravitational pull. There's a
the law of attraction.
Gay-vitational pull. I don't know. That was ridiculous.
All right. Well, next week, we're going to talk about perseverance, which we didn't get to talk
and
about.
And persistence as well.
It's the same thing. Well, I will say this. I said, and I didn't know this. So perseverance, per is Latin for through, severus meaning severe. So the word perseverance is cutting through the severe, through the severe.
Okay.
Isn't that's where the word came from?
It's our primer for next week.
Yes. Tune back in next week.
Oh, but we're still here.
If we're still here.
No, I said, but we're still here.
Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed, could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
They just told us right away that we're gonna house you, we're gonna feed you, and every single one of his medical bills is just all taken care of.
They've saved my family from financial ruin. It allowed me and my wife both to focus on the most important thing, which was the health and well-being of our son.
We have phenomenal research, outstanding clinical care, and the generosity of public, which allow us to treat patients regardless of what it takes. And that's what makes St. Jude so magical.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, families never receive a bill for treatment, travel, housing, or food, because the only thing a family should worry about is helping their child live.
Doctors send us the toughest cases to be treated at St. Jude, and our patients come from all over the world.
When we come here, they told me, don't worry, everything's been taken care of.
We could never repay St. Jude for what they've given us.
Because of you.
Gracias a ti.
Because of you.
There is St. Jude.
And welcome back to Outside the Box. We have our first guest, who I've known now for several years, Barbara Proud. Be Proud. She said you can call her whatever, just not Babs. Correct. Bring the microphone closer.
Yeah.
There you go.
There we go.
So we met going on at least like 4 or 5 years ago.
Easily.
If not longer. Yeah. How long is your first book?
Since 2014.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So we've known each other longer than that. And so Be Proud, and we'll get her background shortly, but I met her when she was doing a book on marriage. Not equality, but just marriages amongst LGBT couples. And it was a beautiful pictorial portrayal of the love of couples that had been in love with each other for decades and decades and decades before we were legally legitimized, right? So we legitimized ourselves a long time ago. And so just because we gained the legal right to get married doesn't mean that we haven't been living long, complicated lives with our partners. And so B went about to basically illustrate that, capture that. And so I was going to talk about perseverance and persistence. I like to choose a theme that exemplifies something that I find in both guests, you know, in knowing the guests. And so you were denied several times in terms of a publication, a publisher.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All the mainstream publishers said no.
There's not a...
They said,
audience for this.
Not an audience. We're not going to make any money. We already did a book like that, which meant, I guess, they hit their gay quota or something.
Right. They did their one every decade.
Yeah. And, right. I mean, there was nothing really like that at the time. So it was...
But that didn't stop you in the
least. No, it was 2013 when I was pursuing that. And, you know, I really thought... The time is now. There's no time to keep pursuing and convincing people. Like, have you seen the news lately?
Mm-hmm. Right.
2013, and it was in the middle of...
All marriage equality.
All marriage equality. Barack Obama, like, the tide has turned.
Totally.
And still people are saying, like, no, one gay book.
Won't make any money.
Yeah, won't get... Yeah, it's a... And art books don't necessarily make money. You know,
and they're expensive.
They're expensive, exactly. Right. You know, if it's a textbook about, you know, how did we win marriage equality? Maybe.
Right. No photos, no colors, no.
Yeah.
Just a lot of words.
And if you're a famous lesbian, maybe.
Right.
But I was determined it had to be done. I thought it was an important collection of things at the time. The message was, and as I made the photographs, I realized. I had a pretty amazing historical collection of images of people.
You already had them?
Well, I had been photographing since 2009. And
Couples
specifically that had been together, well, I started out at 20 years, but I dropped it to 10. So that had been together at least 10 years. But I had, and at that point, I had... the first couple married in the nation's capital, the first couple married in the state of Delaware, Barbara Giddings and Kayla Husen, the first openly gay bishop, Bishop Robinson, first openly gay mayor of a major U.S. city, Annise Parker. You know, I had this collection of people that was like, and both Proposition 8 couples. So it's like, who has this?
Right.
This is the times right now. This is who we need to win marriage equality for.
Right. And so then you self-published. So you got these denials, but you continued and you forged on.
I did. I thought I was smart enough to get it done. And I had a lot of very talented and equally smart friends and that we could do it. And I probably would make some mistakes, but I would get something that was pretty, pretty okay.
And then when, so we met because of Edie Windsor.
Right.
Right, our mutual friend. And so how did you meet Edie? Was it around wanting to photograph?
Yes.
Married, long-term married couples?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I started, well, when I realized I had this basically historical document, I knew that she would be the capstone. I had to have Edie Windsor to make it complete. And, you know, I started trying through her attorney and, you know, no, she's busy. No, after the court
you
case.
You just got to find a way to get to her and then she loves everybody.
Exactly. I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried. It took me a year and a half.
Talk about perseverance.
Yeah, finally I sent her a letter and a package and like, Edie, please, you know, you have to be a part of this. And that was in the early fall of 2013. And it was to the day, January 15th, 2014, which happened to be my birthday. And I was in a coffee shop buying something decadent and my phone rang and it said, Barbara, this is Edie Windsor. And I want to be a part of your project. You're doing great things.
I just got chills.
That's amazing.
It was like when Harry met Sally. I mean, you guys, you know, people were looking at me like, what is going on with this woman?
On your birthday.
On my
having.
Birthday, yeah. Well, I think I smiled for 2 weeks.
And just hearing her voice, she's so sweet.
I know, she's so sweet. And it took still till March to get a date with her.
Right.
But then.
Right. And I love that she controlled her schedule, her calendar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm real
totally.
Busy. I'm real busy. You know, she was probably like 83 at that point, you know, and just, I'm busy. It's going to be 3 months before we can meet.
Exactly. But then she opened her home and we were there for all day and she told us stories. And Yeah. She didn't want
to. I told her, I was like, can I tape record these? Not tape record. It's an iPhone.
May I tape? Showing. May I tape this conversation?
Yeah. Talking to an 80-year-old. I'd use her language.
Can we, just for anybody who doesn't know, Edie Windsor was the main plaintiff?
The first.
You're
marriage,
the lawyer.
Yeah, the first
the plaintiff marriage and the first marriage equality, the Defense of Marriage Act that Bill Clinton unfortunately signed. I mean, whatever the intentions were, that became overturned because of the Windsor,
and that gave
Windsor
us federal
versus,
that gave yeah. us federal protections.
Yes,
but we were still limited on the statewide protections. And then Jim Obergefell, 2 years after that, then we got nationwide marriage equality. But yes, Edie Windsor was the first marriage equality plaintiff.
And talk about perseverance. I mean, basically the community all said, no, it's too soon, it's going to ruin everything. And she said,
like the first Roe v. Wade.
Sorry, no.
Right.
We're doing this.
Right, the Roe v. Wade of marriage equality. And now, and it's a beautiful book. And we went to the opening night at UArts. And I mean, Christina and I were talking about that the other night. It was a great evening. And so tell me how your thought process came about for the second book. Like, when did you have the thought to do the exact same thing, but in illustrating the transgender community and gender non-binary and those couples? Like, how did that come to you?
Well, the first project, which is First Comes Love, it still is being exhibited. And, you know, the purpose was to educate, to show people a side that they don't typically see. That's why it's all in black and white. It's no rainbow anything. Like, look at the people, mm-hmm. understand who they are, and there's a story that goes along with each one. And as we mentioned, I self-published the book. So, you know,
It's a quick question right there. How do you come up with the story? Do you write it after interviewing them?
Yeah, I video interview them after I make their portrait, and then I get that transcribed, and then from there I extract the story, and you know, I follow up if I have any gaps or loose ends or things that I just don't understand.
Right. Mm.
So, and try to condense it all into a page.
Right, which is their life, their relationship.
Yeah.
Right. All right, go ahead.
So I was in debt, basically. I mean, that cost me a lot of money, and it was still a lot of work. I mean, when you publish it yourself, you're everything. You're the marketing person. You're the bookstore. You're everything. But as soon as it was released, everybody wanted to know, well, when are you going to do volume two? We want to be in volume two. You have to do volume two. Can we be in?
You're like, sell them for me.
Like the humans loved it.
Yeah.
right.
So, you know, I was like, I can't do that right now. And then, you know, that guy got elected, you know, and
number 45.
Yeah. Every day it was something. And, you know, it just dawned on me one day that, okay, this is it, you know, I have to keep working, clearly, and I'm not going to do the same thing. It's definitely the trans and gender nonconforming community that needs the love and the understanding and acceptance. And, you know, that's what the first project was about.
The most vulnerable amongst us.
Yeah, and so this was like, okay, this is our weak point here. We need the tea is not silent. Let's go. Let's do this and bring them
to the forefront.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to keep within my own basic goal. So I decided, well, you know, I'm not just going to photograph transgender people. I'm going to photograph couples to show, like, you know, this is valid love. This is beautiful love. And, you know, people are together through thick and thin, through people transitioning and all sorts of other things. So,
It doesn't matter where you started. It doesn't matter, like, you know, you're born, and then you die. You know, like, it doesn't matter where you started and who you met in between. All the love is valuable. I really appreciate that message.
And so where are you? So when we were trying to schedule even this interview, you were figuring out your itinerary of travel, and you've already done a ton of interviews, because I saw on Instagram, that's how I even connected or knew that you were doing this. So where are you in the project, and where are you going? Where have you been?
I've made so far 56 portraits. I have an Excel spreadsheet of over 135 couples who are interested in participating, and they're all over the country.
Wow.
So,
and aren't some people international as well?
I have one couple from England.
Okay.
Yeah. Jake Groff and Hannah Winterbourne. They're from England, but they happened to be in New York City when I photographed them. So.
Okay. So you're not going all over there.
No.
You lucked out and got them while they were on U.S. soil, right in New York, very easy.
Right in New York, and it was a beautiful day. It was a great photograph that came out of that.
I think your like a spinoff book, if you worked with a therapist, could be as a marriage counselor. I mean, haven't you learned something about couples through photographing and listening to their stories and writing all of this?
It's all about communication.
Mm.
Respect and communication.
Respect and communication.
Yeah.
That's what you see as being
there. Well, from the first book, I asked, you know, what does it take to stay together for this amount of time? And that's what everybody but the bishop said. He said sex, but.
Weird.
No, awesome. He said respect and communication too.
And sex.
I like you.
So I've been to like 24 states, I think, and I'm leaving on Friday to go to Louisville, Nashville, and St. Louis, and then I have a whole like patch in the middle of the country: Little Rock, Arkansas, Missoula, Montana, Kansas City, Kansas.
And Do you find a difference when you're in a city like New York and then Little Rock, just in terms of the couple itself? Right, we always talk about the existence of what it's like to live in a small town versus a big city. Do you see any difference in the energy or the outness of the couple itself when you're interviewing them?
No, not so far. I mean, the pulse of the city is different.
Mm-hmm.
But the people are amazing and so happy, really.
Warm.
That's what I would think. At the basic level, as a couple, we're safe, we're fine in this home. How we exist outside in Little Rock, Arkansas, may be different.
I haven't been to that area yet, so that's coming up.
And I'm not
up,
hating
so.
On Little Rock. Sorry, Little Rock.
I'm excited.
Maybe you're Big
Little
Rock.
Rock's a cool, Little Rock's a cool town. Kansas, like the small cities in the center of the the country are. I've had great times. I had a great time in Oklahoma City. There was nothing to do, but the people were great.
Yeah, and for me,
literally nothing to do.
I'm just excited to be able to say, America, this is your neighbor.
Yeah, exactly.
And to show, this small town, in this big city, these are your neighbors everywhere.
To show the most geographic, socioeconomic, age diversity, every kind of diversity I possibly can, to just give this big, huge, broad picture of these are just people.
Right.
And you cross their path every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Just say hello. It's so much easier to just say, oh, hi, nice to meet you, than to have to worry about all the other things.
Some folks are very brave, too, because I'm sure it's not like, I thought it was hard to come out in Philly when I was 21. In Little Rock, to come out as trans with a partner who may or may not be trans, that's...
And accept you, right?
Yeah, well, the first portrait I took was of two men, and one happened to be days away from giving birth. So,
oh wow.
Yeah, it was amazing and it was so beautiful.
Now you have a day job. So we have about a minute. So where so what do you do for a living and how can we find you?
Well, I am a commercial photographer, so people can hire me to do their own portraits. And that's
you don't have to be trans or a long-term couple. Right?
No, and you can be single.
There you go.
With a dog.
Me.
BeProudPhoto.com. And I also teach at the University of the Arts in Philadelphia. So that semester just ended. So
you teach
now
photography,
I'm
assuming?
I do, yes.
That's awesome.
At UArts, yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
And live in Wilmington?
I live in Wilmington. And I also have a house in Rehoboth Beach.
Hey, we're homo.
Come on down.
Hey. All right,
we're
so
coming,
it was BeProudPhotography?
BeProudPhotography.com. Yes, right. And FirstComesLove.org is the both of the projects now
and
together.
And actually plug, because you're fundraising for this second project, so plug that.
I'm going to do a big fundraiser, but people can donate any time, tax deductible, through FirstComesLove.org. I have a fiscal sponsor. They take care of the nonprofit status, so... $5, $500, $5,000. You can be on the team.
There you go. I'll do it. I'm donating.
Awesome.
Thank you
too.
For being here, B.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be back.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and I don't often endorse products or people. unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
At any given moment, somewhere in America, a baby is taking a first step, a developmental milestone. But for too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle. These are the parents of babies who were born prematurely or with birth defects. It's a crisis affecting more than 500,000 babies in the United States each year. You can help them by joining volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Together, our steps make stronger, healthier babies a reality for thousands of families. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible. Who will you march for?
All right, I've gone through all the tracks, just move through the beats. Do your thing.
All right, everyone, let's hear it for West High's own Brooke Turner, a.k.a. DJ Hook.
Scratching up my first school dance takes confidence. So we're getting into college. I've got what it takes. Okay, I went through the practice sessions. I slept good. I feel good.
We will now begin the test. Please take out your pencils.
I got this.
We're all good at something. Maybe it's breakdancing or skateboarding or video games. Whatever you're good at, you had the skills to make it happen. And those same skills will help us get to college. Visit knowhowtogo.org to learn what you should be doing right now to prepare for college. Start taking the steps at knowhowtogo.org.
I've got what it takes. So do you.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation, and the Ad Council.
In May of 2000, Devo Karnakar skied the full descent of Mount Everest. Every day, somewhere in the world, someone base jumps off a bridge, an antenna, a building, or a mountain peak. At Mavericks, surfers brave 60-foot faces and a punishing rock bottom to ride the world's largest waves. Across suburbia, skateboarders transform curbs, stairs, swimming pools, and cement flood basins into Everests of their own making. In the old days, we called these people adventurers. Now, we call them extreme sports enthusiasts. There's a group of people who jump out of helicopters into 30-foot ocean swells, race vehicles through war zones, chase hurricanes, fly through walls of fire, and maneuver zodiacs through flash floods, all in an effort to save lives. We call these people the Air Force Reserve. The Air Force Reserve. Live the extreme.
And welcome back to Outside the Box. We have our next guest, Christine Havrilla, who, in my opinion, and this doesn't mean that we're old.
Hey. I was just thinking iconic. About that, too, before, yes. Yeah. I'm not an archive, it's icon.
It's icon, not archive. An iconic lesbian... Did you say rock star, music singer?
How do
you...
I'm a musician first.
Musician
and then
first.
The rest of my life follows. So that's the way I, you know, look at things.
And so, again, we didn't get into perseverance, but I think just through the guests today, we did talk a lot about perseverance. I already had this thought about you, but when you sent me your bio, I forget who called you this, but one of the hardest working women in music.
Yeah, you know, that was very kind of them. That was Ed Kiggins from Indie Round. I'm so happy to meet so many people, independent artists like me along the way, that bust their butt just as hard as I do. And when you did bring up the word perseverance and self-publishing, I'm an indie artist. I put every album out, so I just put my 16th album out. by myself. So you talk about fundraising, you talk about producing it and then marketing it and, oh yeah, and then getting the material ready and then performing, putting it out. And I just, there's so many amazing artists that do the same thing. So yeah, maybe we're an archive. I don't know.
You could be both.
Yeah, but it's, you learn so much and it's just, it keeps propelling me. So, you know, so last year was my 20th anniversary of an album from 1998, which I put out in Philly. And it's like,
was that your first?
That was actually my second. But I'm like, how old am I? How? I'm still having fun. How much time has passed? People are still coming to hear me. And that's what I'm like blessed with, you know, people.
And so in putting together the content for Perseverance, mm-hmm. the definition of perseverance or grit, gritty, right, which like represents the Flyers is an attitude or a mentality that can keep you towards a goal long term.
Sure.
Right? Long term. 20 years worth of putting out these albums, fundraising for it, doing everything. That is the definition of perseverance. Like, we all have goals, but can we stick with it and do what it takes to overcome the obstacles in order to obtain it 20 years later?
And I think some of the obstacles in looking at that big goal, some of the obstacles are not reaching your short-term goals. I mean, especially putting an album out, putting a book out, how's it going to sell? How's it going to play into the world? So, you know, you're constantly hitting those, but to keep going, because you know you have something to say or you have something for people to see, that's what kind of keeps me propelling and keeps me persevering.
Well, you believe in what... You not only believe in your message and what it is that you're doing, but you also, you said 20 years later, I'm still having fun.
I mean, that's key.
If you love what I do. Even like this,
yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a passion that propels you. I mean, it's, I think with creative minds, and I'm not even just talking about creative people, like people who do creative work. Mm-hmm. I think with people who are creative minds that you're passionate about what Angela does law. It's not necessarily considered a creative field. But I'm sure you have to be creative. You have to market yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to think of ways. I've watched enough Good Wife to know that you have to be creative.
You need to be resourceful.
Yes.
In cooking, I love to cook. Mm-hmm. I would say that's where my creative
everything
outlet comes from.
Everybody's creative in something that they're doing every day, whether they realize it or not. And you can tell the people who are enjoying what they're doing day to day, and some people who are not. So,
Are you actively on tour? About to go on tour?
I just finished a month tour with my friend's band and my band. I play bass for them. They're out of Baltimore, Mama's Black Sheep. So we just wrapped up the Sirens of Spring, and now I'm just diving into my busy time with
your solo tour.
Yeah, and with my band, I still have a 5-piece band. We have a lot of outdoor summer concerts coming up, actually in the Philly area as well. So
where are some of your
like
upcoming
Twilight concerts in Bryn Mawr on June 29th? We're going to be at Pastorius Park in Chestnut Hill. We're going to do an Eagle View down in Exton, couple of suburban squares. So there's a pile of outdoor. I mean, 'tis the season to play outside and be hot and sweaty and bring your picnics and just
enjoy live
do what
music.
We love. Yeah.
So what song did you choose and why?
Yeah. So this is a song from the new album. The new album just came out in March.
And is this it?
It is it. Yes, it is.
Zoom on in.
And this is a song off there called Hail. And my band just played New Hope Pride this past Saturday, and we have Dover Pride coming up. And this seems to be the one song that, whether it's Pride, it's anywhere, I think people just connect with for whatever reason in their journey.
And so
I,
Hail?
Yeah, so I figured we'll just do this one. So this is called Hail.
Hail all the lonely nights. The tears you've cried, hail all that you've survived. Hail all the honesty, hail all that sets you free, hail all that you believe. 'Cause when darkness comes, that's your chance to shine. White ripples roll. Of faith, hail every inch of grace.
you free. 'Cause when darkness comes, that's your chance to shine. When ripples run, you ride. When darkness comes, shine on your light. So I can get my strength. When darkness comes, that's your chance to shine. When ripples roll, you ride. When darkness comes, shine on your light. So I can get my strength from you. So I can get my strength from you. So I can get my strength from you tonight.
Wow. I don't think there's a dry eye.
Oh, well, that's what that song, that's what it's for. Yeah. Four chords. You know, it just, I wrote that song in 10 minutes for everybody, you know, so.
It makes you emotional too?
Yeah.
No.
Want to play it again? No, just kidding. Yeah, I mean, that's why that song, I have to play that song. I'm supposed to play that song, so. Especially at Pride Fest, people Beautiful. Always come up and say something, talk about their situation. So it's like, yes, I wrote this for you today.
In times of darkness.
Yeah.
You can shine.
Yep. So many of us shine because of what we're doing, you know? There's so much darkness out there.
And I feel like a song like that, it applies to everyone, right?
Gay or straight, any situation.
You know, we've either kept ourselves in darkness, right? And we all have darkness, but yeah, it hits everyone. It doesn't matter who you are, what you're going through.
Everyone has a journey and a situation and something they're struggling with.
Some of us have unfortunately leaned into darkness.
Sure. Like, sure. You get stuck.
Because
you get trapped.
Used to it. Yeah.
You think that's the way it has to be. Yeah.
Okay.
That one's for you.
Honey. There you go. This is yours.
Yes.
You can listen to it.
Yes.
And tell me about that 10 minutes. Where were you?
You know, I can't even remember. I think I started it. I mean, I started this song years ago, and then I kind of forgot about it.
What do you mean you started
I was living in Portland. So a lot of times I start a song, and I forget it. You know, I have archives of voice memos myself of songs, like an idea I might say, speak, play a chord, write it down, do something. And I came back to this, and then it must have been the right time in my life. I was getting ready to move back from the West Coast.
So how long ago was this?
A couple years, like 5 years ago.
So and you just revisit those archives every
once in a while? Yeah, I go back, because sometimes it reminds me of what I was going through, what I was thinking, or maybe what I don't know. Most of your pictures don't make it. Most of your songs don't make it. But the ones that do, I think, rise for some reason. When I finished that song, it was like, 10 minutes, done. And I was like, okay, I need to play this song. And immediately the reaction I saw from people that they connected to it and they got it made me feel like, okay, it came out the right time. I finally recorded it on this album. It's been around a couple of years. And I know I got lucky, you know, I just got lucky.
That must be immensely therapeutic for you.
It is for me,
like,
yeah.
People sit with therapists to unpack what happened 5 years ago.
Yeah.
For hours and hours, and they've
yeah, I think music does that, is very therapeutic.
So the fact that you can go back and be like, what was going on at this time? Have I resolved this? I mean, you might not be thinking that, but you're able to pull it back out and be like, okay, that's what happened, and then put it back down.
And the strange thing with writing songs, they're not always about me. There might be sections about me that something triggers it. And maybe what a song means to me, what a photo means to you, what a case means to you, you know, someone else might take something completely different out of it, which is so, there are no rules, like for when I
write a song. But still impactful for that person.
Because if it's true to me and if I'm connected to it, I think that's the only way
it's
other people can be connected.
It's connected to its source.
Sure.
It's just, is pure authenticity.
Yeah.
And however I perceive it, if it's helpful to me, it's helpful.
It has to be, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, otherwise, if I'm not into it, if I don't like it, or if I don't feel a connection to it, how do I expect people to feel a connection to it.
Is it weird that you can just make people cry?
It is very weird. It happens often.
I cry when I put my deodorant on.
Yeah. I mean, but it also makes people smile or makes people think about where they are.
As a lawyer, I'll reframe that question. Is it weird to be able to cause emotion in people?
No, that's people. Too many people don't let their emotions out. So I think with music, and like I said, so many good musicians out there because they're just being truthful and honest and helps everybody else.
Yeah.
The world would be a better place if everyone could just say how they feel
and connect more. Pun intended, but you hit a chord.
Yeah. Hit a chord.
You hit a chord.
when I started DJing, I would play very disco-y, happy house music.
Sure.
And it had like these bass lines, and people are like, what attracts you to this? And I said, it's just like the emotion that goes with it.
Sure.
Like, I don't, you know, I'm not playing like this like club techno stuff. It's just like happy stuff.
Right. But,
So I get it. It connects you to people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So tell us again where you're going to be playing in the next month or so.
Yeah. So me and the band, we're doing Twilight concerts in Bryn Mawr, a lot of outdoor shows. I also live down near Rehoboth Beach, so I have always at the beach once a month. Somewhere.
Yeah, Rehoboth Ale House.
Yes, yeah, somewhere, somehow. We're doing Pastorius Park. We're doing Eagle View. We're doing Suburban. I just did. I'm doing Dover Pride Saturday, June 1st
in
Dover.
And then Big Chill Surf Cantina.
Mm-hmm. And there's tons. You can go on the website. There are tons of shows listed.
How do they find you?
You can find me at ChristineHavrilla.com. And my band is Gypsy Fuzz. Some shows have the band. Some shows just have me.
And Christine is with a C-H.
Yes.
ChristineHavrilla.com. So thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
In May of 2000, Devo Karnakar skied the full descent of Mount Everest. Every day, somewhere in the world, someone base jumps off a bridge, an antenna, a building, or a mountain peak. At Mavericks, surfers brave 60-foot faces and a punishing rock bottom to ride the world's largest waves. Across suburbia, skateboarders transform curbs, stairs, swimming pools, and cement flood basins into Everests of their own making. In the old days, we called these people adventurers. Now, we call them extreme sports enthusiasts. There's a group of people who jump out of helicopters into 30-foot ocean swells, race vehicles through war zones, chase hurricanes, fly through walls of fire, and maneuver zodiacs through flash floods, all in an effort to save lives. We call these people the Air Force Reserve. The Air Force Reserve. Live the extreme.
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the Y. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive, all with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. And we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
And welcome back to Outside the Box. So today was an awesome show.
We had Be Proud, Barbara Proud. You can find her and her projects at firstcomeslove.org. And also we had Christine Havrilla play us a song that had everyone in the studio crying, whether we liked it or not. It was amazing. The song was called Hail, and her new album is called Sunless Escapade. It's a little depressing.
It starts dark.
It starts dark.
It ends light.
Exactly. Then sunshine on the dark on the darkness.
Got to balance it out.
And so, why don't you lead us out today, Carl?
You can't just throw that on me. Next week we have we don't know yet, but we will. It's a surprise. I'm sorry. No, we know. It's just a surprise. So make sure you join us. And then the following week we have Aunt Mary Pat DeSabatino.
Aunt Mary Pat,
also known as Troy David Hendrickson, who has become the hot
new
local,
drag queen,
Delco favorite. So and that's gonna be my birthday show. So.
And she'll have her own segment.
Yes. Aunt Mary Pat will have her own segment, and then we're going to talk to the person who
Troy.
Is Aunt Mary Pat.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think Troy will lead us off, and then all of a sudden,
Aunt
Mary Pat's going to show up.
with her bottle of Fireball.
Can't wait. All right. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening. This is Outside the Box.
Thank you.